is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Wherever you're joining us, thanks for doing so. 42-32, a game that had, as I like to say, more drama than a month of General Hospital. Holy smokes. What a second half in particular, but the most important thing, Buccaneer victory. And we're going to have a lot of fun here in this hour on Buccaneers Total Access on a Monday night with number 19, Mike Williams, sitting down here with us. Good to see you again and get to talk to you on the radio again. Congrats on the victory. That is the biggest thing. You got a smile ear to ear on that face right now, and you should after that win in Oakland. Welcome, and tell me about it.
It's good, man. Thanks for having me back, first of all. It's good to be back on the radio, but it's good to be at 500 again. It feels good. Like Coach said, we back in this thing now, so a lot of teams got to look out for the Buccaneers now.
We're going to take some phone calls tonight, and some Buccaneer fans are obviously thrilled. You know, these two games, Thursday night at Minnesota, then coming back home, then going all the way out to Oakland. Not easy to win on the road. Not easy to win in those two places. How, as a football team, how have you guys been able to do what you've done the last couple of road games here to get this thing back to 4-4?
We kind of had to stay focused. They told us to stay focused and stick with the game plan. And that's what we've been doing. We had a couple of losses in a row, and he told us to stick with the game plan. It's going to work out. And that's what we kept doing, stick to the game plan, listen to our coaches, and we're starting to click on offensively too.
Yeah, I would say so. Again, we will go over this stat that in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there has never been a four-game stretch where the Buccaneers have scored 28 or more and also 400 yards of offense or more. Now, truthfully, Mike, before you were here, before you were even born, the Buccaneers had a lot of bad teams back in the late 70s, early 80s. But still, I mean, you're talking about Tony Dungy teams that were playoff-caliber teams every year. You're talking about John Gruden team that went to and won the Super Bowl and was in the playoffs. This is the greatest statistical four-game stretch in Buccaneer history. Again, you know, with the understanding that you're looking ahead to getting ready to play the Chargers, let's look back on the last month. Why are you guys having the kind of success running, throwing, and scoring that you are having as an offense right now?
I think at first when we started off, we started slow because we had to get the offense. It's a lot of adjustments in this offense. We got to read off our zone coverages, man-to-man coverages, and we have different routes depending on what the coverage is. And I think we was like kind of not on the same page. We were seeing different things, but I think now is we all starting to see the same thing. Everything looking the same to us. The offense starting to get a lot familiar. We all can play any position now as the receiver core, so it's starting to be like something good to see.
You know, elaborate on that part that fans hear you say, well, wait a minute, we can all play the same, different positions on the receiving core. You line up on the outside a lot of the time, but when you line up in the slot or you line up on the right as opposed to the left, there's different things going on there with the formation and how, and what you're doing. It's not as simple as you're just playing wide receiver, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like you said, sometimes I'm in the right, sometimes I'm on the left. It's different. Like even with the play call, if the play call is the same, it's still different if I'm on the right or the left. So you just got to realize where you're at on the field and just be on the same page with Josh.
Again, we will take your calls here tonight with Mike Williams as we go along. 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free number to join us tonight. And we've been hearing from Buck fans all over the place. There were a lot of Buck fans at that game yesterday, and a lot being relative. I mean, again, there's a massive amount of Raiders fans, but you look up in the stands, there were dozens and dozens of Buccaneer fans that were wearing the red shirts, the red jerseys. A lot of players had friends and family that were up there in the stands. I saw some orange throwback jerseys, too. Some Allstott, some Doug Williams, some old school throwback orange that was up in the stands. It was neat to see some Buck fans there in Northern California, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was kidding with Doug, and I told him that most of his family down there I heard he had like 900 tickets or something like that.
It was not 900, was it? It might have been 100. It might have been a little less than 100. It wasn't 900. Don't put that out there. Come on.
It was crazy, man.
Doug was playing for free because he had all the ticket requests?
Oh,
he had to pay for all the tickets?
I'm basically saying Doug played for free that game.
Yeah. Well, he certainly played a whale of a game. But my point is, for the callers that are calling in, we get calls from all over the place right now. We heard from some callers last week that were in California saying, hey, I'm going to root on my Buccaneers. So that's interesting with who who's listening on these shows on Total Access. So again, dial us up if you're outside the immediate Bay Area, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet me a question or a comment. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy on Twitter, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, and we'll get a question or a comment to Mike here. You know, you guys have now played 8 games in this offense, and we hear so much about the quick strike capability. We've now seen it in action, where this offense can go vertically down the field and make the big play and the quick strike. Just talk about that dimension and what it brings to an offense and how it helps an offense.
It helps our offense a lot, man. A quick strike, it changed the game right away. So if you can get a quick strike down the field, 40 yards, 35 yards, it changed the momentum right away. So we glad we can do that, but we say it's just trusting each other. Like, I'm going to put it up. You win and you catch the ball, and we trust each other on that one.
We saw Vincent Jackson make a catch and a catch and run, and it eventually led to the first touchdown of the game going down the field. We saw you later in the game make a catch and a catch and run. What is that like when you're down the field, you come up with the football, and now you're trying to make moves and see that you were weaving all over the field trying to make moves? I know you're laughing about that, but I mean, what's that like to go down the field, make the catch, and now, wait a minute, I'm not in the end zone yet. I'm not out of bounds. I'm not down. Let's make something happen. What is that like?
It's like, when I catch it, if I ever be mic'd up when I catch it, and I tell people, I always say showtime. Like, that's just
Wait. So when you caught the ball yesterday, you said to yourself or you said out loud, showtime?
I said out loud to myself, showtime. Yeah, I promise. I always do it. Like, even in practice, if I catch a long run or something like that, I always say showtime. So it just stuck to my head. And I told Vincent the other day, every time I catch it, I try to get in the end zone no matter where I'm at on the field.
You went running all the way from the right side of the field to the left side of the field, and Vincent was over there. I think, was it Dallas Clark was down the field too, throwing a block? Vincent was over there trying to throw a block.
Yeah.
You came like the whole width of the field almost, trying to make a play to the other side in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. Like, what I told him was, I'm going to try to use up every little inch of the field to try to see if I got a chance to score. So, right there, I didn't really have a chance, so I ran out of air.
Yeah. You get a little bit on that. But later in the same drive, you're able on a second and goal to catch one from 4 yards out. That's a different play because it's a spot throw. You're trying to come up with the ball. You're trying to get those feet down, and you were able to do that yet again. Just describe that touchdown play. You've had some time now to watch it on tape as well since it's been about 24 hours.
Well, it was just a play-action play. And really, to be honest, they didn't go for it. They didn't go for the play-action. They dropped everybody back in zone, so it was just me one-on-one with the corner. And when we draw up that play, the first thing the coaches always say to me, Mike, you got to beat the corner because if you don't, nobody else open. And that's what I had to do. I had to beat the corner to the corner, and Josh put it in a perfect spot, and I just caught it.
I've asked you this before, but I love this insight and elaborate here. Are you aware specifically of an exact point that you have to get to in the end zone width-wise and length-wise for the play, or is some of that by feel suddenly? I know I still have a little bit of room here to do my toe tap thing, but I don't have to specifically be 2 yards off the line or 1 yard off the line. How does that work for you getting those feet in?
When I come to the line, I actually look out there and see, like, where would I be at if I catch the ball? Like, that's my first thing.
So you're visualizing what spot am I going to be on?
Yeah, exactly. So then when I see the ball in the air, I kind of like know where I'm at already. I can see myself catching the ball. It's weird, but I kind of know where I'm at, and I just know how much time I have and if I have to put my foot together to get my feet in or if I got 2 steps to put my feet in.
When the ball is in the air, and you've shared this before, but again, I want you to repeat it for the audience that's hearing us tonight on Total Access. When the ball is in the air, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you thinking when it's coming your way?
Oh, mine.
On those.
I always think, like, this is my ball right here. If the ball in the air, I think it's my ball. I think I got a 99% chance of winning. That's just how I think. If it's in the air, I think I'm coming down with it. It's just, I always say, six.
Do you ever think, where is the defender? Are you thinking that while the ball is coming to you? Is he beside me? Is he behind me? Are you ever consciously thinking I might have to fight him off? No?
No, not really. If it's one-on-one coverage, I'm just going for the ball. But if it's a safety involved or something, I kind of be thinking, like, if I got to go up, catch it, turn my back, take the hit, or something like that. But if it's one-on-one, it don't really matter where he at.
Again, Mike Williams is with us here for the full hour tonight on Buccaneers Total Access, and you can join us on the phones. You can tweet in a question as well. We will talk more about this win over the Raiders. We'll see what he's up to as well off the field, and we'll talk San Diego Chargers as we go along tonight as well. We come your way here on Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be back with more Total Access in just a moment. Stay with us. We are back with number 19, Mike Williams, here on Buccaneers Total Access. It's the Bucs and the Chargers coming up on Sunday. That will be at 1 o'clock. We'll be on the air at noon. By the way, just about 9,000 tickets remain to lift the blackout here, to get to the 85% to lift the blackout. So get your tickets right now. And off of these two performances on the road, you ought to be racing to the ticket window to come see the stars on this team. We got plenty of people that want to talk to you, and we'll get to that here in just a second. In the first 10 minutes, we didn't say enough about Doug Martin and the offensive line and 251 yards rushing, most of which was in the second half of the game. A day later, having seen it on the tape, was it maybe even better than what you thought it was watching it on the tape, or was it just equally as awesome as you thought it was?
Oh, it was even better seeing it on the tape, but it was great seeing it live too. Me and Vincent Jackson, we was both on both of those plays and his long runs. And his first run, he broke it. It was like good to see. But then the second one, when we blocking, we somehow end up by each other and we running behind him laughing. It was just so funny to us. Like, yo, he really having a great game. It was good to see.
You know, you give credit to the line because, again, you move Ted Larson into center. He's played some center before, played some center actually for a couple of series in the Saints game. Move Jeremy Zutaw back to left guard where he's played some. This offensive line did not miss a beat. As much as everybody's showing the Doug Martin highlights, you got to give it up to the way that the line played, don't you?
Yeah, the line played outstanding. I actually talked to one of the reporters before the game, I can't remember who, mm-hmm. and he said he hoped that Zutaw get to move people like Nick's did. And I told him, like, that's Zutaw's position. He ready for it. And I went in the locker room and told Zutaw about it, and he came out and performed. So it was good to see the offensive line play that good, too. Like, they always say the next man up mentality.
Yep.
They showed it right away.
And, they're still doing the research, and I don't know if we have final confirmation on this or not, but what you were part of as an offensive unit had never happened before in one half in an NFL where a running back ran for three touchdowns of 45 yards or more. He had a 45, a 67, and a 70 in one half. In one half, that had never happened before in the NFL, and they're still doing the research on whether it's happened in a single game, and I didn't hear the final result this afternoon. It may be the first time that's ever happened in a game, three long touchdown runs of that significance, certainly in one half. It's amazing to have that happen, and you know, some guys just have that. You have a knack for being able to make the catch and get the toes down. Doug Martin, for whatever reason, has a knack once he gets to that second level linebackers, third level safeties to get by those guys. What did you see on the tape with that part of it? Because a 10-yard run suddenly became 67 or 70 yards.
Oh yeah, our coach, Coach Fleck, he always tell us like try to stay on our block extra longer for Doug because he's going to bounce off. He's going to get to the secondary players like. And he's showing it week after week after week, and I think he's getting more comfortable in this offense. So it's good to see him getting this offense together, but we all learning it together.
Again, the voice of Mike Williams with us here, 990-4620 in Hillsboro. In Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. You want to talk to some fans, they certainly want to talk to you. Mr. Williams, let's go to Fred and Brandon. You are up here with number 19 on Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, good afternoon and evening, TJ. Good evening, Showtime.
How's it good? Good evening.
I tell you what, I just want to tell you, I want to start telling you, my wife and I are big fans of you. We We love how you play. I've never seen a guy use every inch of the football field to beat his opponent. That is an art you have. I love hearing the stories about you playing catch with your mom. And we're out there on Sundays. When you show up for the game, you stop. You talk to the fans. You always take the time. You're such a cheerful and humble guy. You are a Buccaneer man, and I just want to thank you for that.
All right, thank you. Thanks.
I have a question. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. So going out to the West Coast, I've seen you leave on Friday and seen you all leave on Saturday. Which one do you think is better for you? And will we see you in red and pewter on Sunday?
Interesting. We don't know about the uniforms yet. Do we know? Are we supposed to say?
I'm not sure. I know.
Oh, who knows? Okay, tune in Sunday and find out. Are you guys going to wear camouflage for the military day? Can you confirm or deny? Probably not.
We're going to wear exactly what he just said.
You think so?
No, we're letting the
cat out of the bag? I like that. Yeah. Red and pewter?
Yeah, red and pewter. We're going to wear it.
Usually how it works, and again, you know, we should explain this actually to the fans, that the team has to determine this well in advance, months in advance, and tell the other team what you're wearing, and they plan that out. Usually when November comes and the Bucks are at home because it is cooler, you guys will put on the red and pewter and not worry so much about having the opponents in the darker color. So if it sticks to it, it'll be red and pewter for this November, but we'll wait. So he asked about leaving on Saturday this go around. The head coach was in here earlier and said, hey, there's a lot of talk about the way to do it. He wanted to leave on Saturday, make you guys aware of the time and the body clock and the whole thing. In his words, he said, we started a little slow, but we end up scoring 5 touchdowns in the second half. You obviously had legs at the end of the game, Mike. Again, just jump in here on leaving on Saturday and putting together that kind of an offensive performance, especially.
Yeah, I kind of was confused on leaving on Saturday. I thought we was supposed to leave on Friday, but I think it actually worked in how he did it. He made sure we still went on our time. Like, everything was off of still our time. It was never off theirs. We played a 4 o'clock game. Like, that's how we did it. We went out there and we played a 4 o'clock game, and we prepared and went to sleep and stuff like it was a 4 o'clock game. So I think it actually worked.
And obviously 35 points in the second half would indicate you had legs at the end of that game. You had to have legs on both sides of the ball, because that was truly a 60-minute game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We came in at halftime, and he told us that we was thinking too much. And he said, we can go out and beat this team, man. We went out there and did it.
All right, back to the phones. Matt is in Seminole. You are on here with Mike Williams on Total Access. Hey, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. Mike, how's it going, bud?
Oh, it's going great, Matt. How's you?
I'm doing well, man. I just want to, first of all, extend a thank you to you and the team. Make Monday morning, a lot easier for us 9-to-5ers.
Okay.
Yeah, man, but I also want to just give kudos to you guys, man. You have amazing body control. Is that something that you've worked on your whole career? I remember the first, I think, spectacular catch I saw you catch as a Buccaneer was up in Cleveland. Is that right?
I think that was actually the first big one. It was actually here against Cleveland. Yes.
Yeah. That at home?
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that little circus catch in the back of the end zone, that was phenomenal. But I want to get your thoughts on the team. Are you guys talking playoffs now? Or are you just taking one game at a time? Or what's you guys' hopes for that? I'll hang up and listen to you. Thanks again for a great game yesterday, man.
Well, I think we talking one game at a time. That's been our, like, motto the whole year. I play one game at a time. Like, this is a one-game season. Like, right now we on the Chargers. We not worried about nothing else. We on the Chargers. We trying to get through the Chargers week. I mean, of course, we want to get in the playoffs. We want to be a playoff team. But we know in order to get there, we got to take it one game at a time, and that's what we're going to do.
So good for fans, though. Fans always, love to be fans. They want their team to be in the playoff hunt. I mean, you do not want to be in November and December where you're already talking about the draft and who you're getting next year. You want your team to be in the playoff hunt. This team has clearly gotten itself now into the conversation for November by winning these two games. And if you're looking for positives and pluses, that's obviously a positive and plus. We're not talking – I mean, there are some markets right now where the NFL team, the fan base, the media, they're talking about next year already. This team is still talking about 2012. I know that's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, it's a real good feeling. My whole time as a Buck, I never made the playoffs. It'll be pretty exciting to get in the playoffs.
He was mentioning that catch against the Browns. People got to remember that was your first game in the back of the end zone. Ended up being a victory, rookie year 2010. If I'm not mistaken, you tipped that ball kind of up in the air to yourself.
Yeah.
In about with a defender on you, back line of the end zone. Am I right? If I'm remembering this?
Yeah, you're right. I tipped it to myself, and the whole time I knew where I was at. So it really wasn't a hard catch because to be honest, I knew where I was standing at in the end zone. So I knew if I tipped the ball, I knew I couldn't go backwards. So it looked it like it was hard, but it really wasn't.
Oh, come on, though. I mean, you're selling yourself short on that because there are a lot of us out there that could not get our feet down in the first place, much less have the presence of mind to tip it and still have your feet. That took some coordination and balance. A fun one because I don't know that I ever asked you this. Where is the first ever NFL touchdown ball? Did you give that to mom? I know your mom's an important part of your life. So does mom have that one?
Yes, my mom has it.
So it's up on the mantle, up on a shelf, on a table.
She got it on this shelf. She keep away from everybody. She only show everybody that she invite in the house. But
do you keep all your touchdown balls? Did you keep the one from Oakland yesterday?
No, I kind of pick and choose because I kept the one from the week before. So I kind of
the Minnesota one.
Yeah, I kept the Minnesota ball. But
why would you not keep the Oakland ball for that game? Just wanted to give it back, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of pick and choose what balls I keep.
Pretty cool. Do you keep some of them, or do they all go to mom or relatives?
All go to mom.
All right, so she's got them stacking them up. I like that. 990-4620 if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. And you can also tweet me a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. Michael has an excellent question on Twitter. He says, when the ball is in the air, do things slow down, or are you just that good? Is it? I mean, a lot of players talk, and you've talked before. Is it in slow motion sometimes when it's coming to you?
Yeah, like I think it is slow motion for me. I kind of see everything that's happening, like everything around me before I even catch the ball. So I think it's slow motion.
That's players have talked about that all the time. Does the crowd go quiet? I mean, that crowd was bonkers yesterday. Do you just crowd goes quiet in your head?
Yeah, it's like the ball be a mute button. It's kind of crazy because it happened to me all the time. No matter if it's a slant or a 5-yard route or anything, it seemed like the crowd goes mute.
All right, back to the phones. Matt in Lakeland on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing, Matt?
Pretty good. Hey, I just had a quick question about Taquan Underwood's hair, man. Like, he's got that perfect flat top on the side or on the sideline, but then he puts on his helmet. Does he have a pick? He picked that thing back up when he takes off his helmet, or is it just spring right back in the perfect form?
What is up with Taquan and the high fade that we were calling it? Did you ever wear a high fade like that?
Nah, that's like a 60s thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Kid and Play made it big, and Will Smith made it big, like, in the 90s. Now, he told us on the Total Access, it started as a bet as to whether or not he would do it. And I said, so, in other words, is the bet in progress or you've won? He said, I've won the bet, but the ladies kind of like the look. So, what about Taquan in this? The hairdo's getting some attention now.
Oh, yeah. He kind of mad right now that on Madden, they don't got the bush on Madden. They just got him as a regular cut when you play with him on Madden. So, but the bush, he picks it out all the time. Like, that pick, I'm surprised it's not in his pads. But he tried to get the fans to see, like, his bush at, like, perfect. He tried to get it so perfect every time. But I wouldn't be surprised if one time you get tackled and you see the pick fall out.
Oh, right. So you think he has it on him. Yes, that's good. But you're saying on the Madden game, Taquan, you see him without his helmet. He does not have the hairdo.
Yeah, he did not have the hairdo without his helmet. He kind of mad at that. He said he's going to talk to Matt.
Now, we should mention before we go back to the phones that you were growing an extra long beard, and I kept calling it the playoff beard because in hockey, they always start growing facial hair if they ever play hockey again. Hockey season shut down now. Right now, they got a labor dispute. You can identify as players with what we had a couple years ago. But when the playoffs start in hockey, they start growing facial hair. And a lot of these guys will start looking like Grizzly Adams, if you ever remember that TV show, probably before your time. They start getting the big full beard going. You look like you had a playoff beard working there when you came to training camp. You kept it going for a while. And I remember asking you preseason or whatever, what does mom think about this long beard here? She was all right with it?
Yeah, she was cool with it. My mom, like, she like, whatever. I told her I'm trying to get some wins out the beard, and she's going to go with it.
Well, we saw, though, a couple of weeks ago, and you've trimmed it up. The beard is gone. So what's the significance there? You just didn't – you got tired of it?
No, we kind of lost two straight. So I'm like – I cut it right away. Mark told me to cut it, so I cut it.
Mark being Mark Dominic, our gym owner, he said it's time for the playoff beard to be gone.
Yeah.
How long did it take to cut that thing? I mean, it was a good 3 or 4 inches long. You're cutting it with scissors, shaving it. Did somebody else do it?
Well,
I got a playoff beard.
I got a barber out here, and it kind of took me like 40 minutes to let him cut it. I had to grab the scissors myself and cut a piece off so I could let him cut it, and he cut it.
All right, so there you go. That's just a little insight there on Tyquan Underwood's high fade and the Mike Williams playoff beard. You never know what's up with these receivers in the room. You guys, you know, kid each other back and forth about that kind of stuff? Some good-natured ribbing?
Oh, yeah, all the time. They talked about my beard for so long. But it's gone now. They can't talk.
Yeah, the beard is gone. All right, back to the phones. Doug in Wesley Chapel, you are up on Buccaneers Total Access here with Mike Williams. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call tonight. Hey, Mike, I was just wanting to understand, you know, you guys have put together three good games, and I know listening to Coach Schiano, he's still saying, you know, more reps, the easier it's going to get for everybody. I'm just kind of curious, and not to give away any strategy or anything, how things are kind of grading out in the room when you guys get in there on Monday to review the tape. And one other question I had was, I saw, I don't know if it was in the second half, but it was a ball that, you know, Josh threw to you on the left sideline, and you had the safety coming over the top, and it kind of went out of bounds, and then you went over to the sideline, and you had a couple words with Coach Schiano, and I just saw you kind of nodding your head on the TV, like, I don't know what he was saying to you there, but it sounded like he was coaching on some, so I was just curious if you could share that with us at all. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right, first thing on the receiver grades. You guys are graded kind of like classroom, kind of like school.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta believe with all the offense we're seeing, the grades are pretty good.
Well, not with Coach Flack.
he's tough?
Yeah, he's real tough. He's like the I don't know if y'all seen Matilda, the principal.
Yes.
I can't think of her. The
principal
name. I don't
remember her name, but I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, that's
kids
like
movie.
That's like Coach Fleck. But our grades is always higher. Like,
what are you graded on? Give me examples of what you're graded on.
We get graded on blocking, which foot we step with, if we lined up exactly 5 yards.
What do you mean, which foot you stepped with?
Because sometimes on block, when we got blocks, we gotta convoy blocked, which we got to block the other side of the field, so we got to step with our left foot right away so we can make sure we get to the block. And if we step with our right foot, even if we get the block, we get a negative. So
he's a tough grader.
Yeah, he's a tough grader
taking those steps.
But I try to win every week. I kind of like try to beat Vincent Jackson out every week. We kind of like joke around with each other. He got this big stake, and every week, no matter if it's a loss or a win, we get a grade, and whoever was the best receiver grade get the state.
And, really?
Yeah, it's a real big state. Right now, it's in my locker because I won it last week.
Okay.
I think I'm.
This is like you're talking. Speaking of kids stuff, you're talking about like Fred Flintstone, the Brontosaurus state.
Yeah, real big. I think we kind of had like a little victory Monday, so. We didn't get to see the coaches today, but I think I'm going to win the stake this week.
All right. You think you're going to get it when the grades come out?
Yeah. I told him I'm going to get a permanent spot in my locker.
Is anybody else in on this stake? Tyquan?
Yeah,
or
all the receivers.
Okay. Has anybody else had the stake? Or it's primarily
Tyquan had it once. He had it once.
So the stake goes in your locker.
Yeah.
All right. I like this.
I think I'm going to – I told Vincent – I'm going to win it the rest of the season. I'm not giving it back. So
you're not giving up the stake.
Yeah.
On the pass play he's talking about in the second half, if you remember, I mean, you're coming over. There's constant conversation with you and Josh, with Coach Fleck, with Coach Schiano about different plays. You know, I don't know if you remember what he's talking about there without revealing strategy or whatever, but you're constantly having discussions there, right, about the route and where you were and that kind of stuff, right?
Actually, when I came to the sideline and talked to Schiano, it wasn't about that pass. It was just about it was time for me and Vincent to make some plays. He was like, he basically need us. Like, I always tell him, like, I got you. And he always like, you got me? And I'm like, yeah, I got you. And it was like one of those conversations. It wasn't nothing about the pass. On that pass right there, we both seen it wrong, really. I kind of took off a little bit too fast. He was going to back shoulder me, but he seen me running fast. So he thought that to lead me out there. And that was like one of the communication things right there, that I supposed to slow up and look back. And it would have been an easy completion.
Yeah, the back shoulder thing has become new in the NFL, where it's purposely thrown behind you and behind the defender to go and get it, and we've seen you make that play. We will have more with Mike Williams. We'll talk more about the San Diego Chargers, too. Stick around as we go on here on this Monday night. It's Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in on this Monday night, Bucks and Chargers coming up on a Sunday. By the way, it's Military Appreciation Month in the NFL and Military Appreciation Weekend with Veterans Day. For the home game with the Chargers, the Military Supply Drive will be going on. The Yellow Glazer Family Foundation tents will be at each entrance of the stadium. Fans can donate items towards the drive, money towards the drive. There's going to be all kinds of things going on. Any kind of hygiene items you have for the military, non-perishable food, coffee, canned goods, box goods, socks, slightly used CDs, DVDs, anything that can be sent to the troops, and you don't want it, or you even want to buy stuff new and you want to give it, come and bring it, give it. It will all be donated to the Support the Troops cause, and that'll be going on as part of the Military Appreciation Day. So you can go to GlazerFamilyFoundation.org and find out more about that. I was mentioning to the coach before we go back to the phones, we didn't get a chance to see this because obviously we're playing in the game. You guys are playing in the game. We're there with the broadcast against the Raiders. But because of the events with Hurricane Sandy and what the rough time that the Northeast is going through and in New York and in New Jersey, the Steelers and the Giants were playing yesterday afternoon at the same time that we were playing. And it was really neat because the Steelers and the Giants players and coaches came onto the field pregame and all held the American flag that was all the way around the whole field together with a lot of the first responders, fire personnel, paramedics, police officers. They were all on the field holding the flag. Similar stuff will go on with the military this weekend all over the NFL, including at our stadium, where you guys will be saluting the military. What does that mean as a player to be able to do something symbolically for those that are in public service and military service to give back, to recognize them? What does that mean for you as a player, Mike, to do that?
Oh, it feels good, man. It's for them to, for us to like let them see that we recognize and see what they are doing and that we appreciate it. It's always a great thing for us as players to let them know that. So for us to do that, it feels good. Like they were saying, like we should wear different jerseys this week. I agree with it. I wanted to wear different jerseys because just to let them know that we see what they're doing.
Like the military camouflage. We've seen some college teams do that. But what is it? We've seen a lot of different military at games. You've now been doing this. This is your third year where a lot of the times the military guys will be outside the locker room and you actually get to go and speak to them after a game, the men and women in service. What is that like to be able to go say, you know, hello to them? And I know they're big Buck fans in a lot of cases, rooting you on.
Oh, yeah. It's good to go out there and salute them, give them autographs. They always say thank you, and I always say thank you back. Like, and they always be like, what you thanking me for? And just I'm like, I'm thanking you for what you do. And we always get those conversations, and they go out there, sign balls for them, and see that they fans too. It feels good.
All right, back to the phones. Again, you can join us at 990-4620. If you are in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. Here is Sean in Tampa. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams. Hey, Sean.
Hey, TJ. Hey, Mike. How's it going today?
Oh, it's going great. How's you?
All right, man. I got a couple things I want to say. Man, I've been seeing you play ever since Syracuse, obviously being from Tampa, watching USF or whatnot, man. And you've always been a beast. And I actually remember your first ever catch with the Bucs in preseason. It was down the sidelines and you did a toe tap then. I don't know if everybody remembered. I don't even know if you remember that catch. But that was kind of a introduction to the fans right there, what type of body control you have. And it's reminiscent, man, of and I'm not trying to compare you to any player, but Chris Carter was very good at doing that to the Bucks for many years, man. And it just seems like, yeah, you definitely have that knack to be able to go up and get a ball and come down and tap those toes, dot that I, as coaches like to say. Now, one question that I do have for you, man, is Roddy White. Okay, he's made some derogatory statements in the past as it relates to you. I know your rookie year you became you were voted one of the top 100 players, and then the next year you had a down year and you didn't make it, and he kind of threw a little jab out there. And I was just wondering, from a personal standpoint, do you guys listen to other players, maybe talk trash? And if so, how much does that motivate you to go out there to prove, not necessarily him wrong, but to just show him he was dumb for, or he looked stupid for trying to call you out and say you were not deserving of being on that list? And I'll listen to you guys. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, Sean, what about that?
Well, with like trash talking and things like that, I kind of like if it's in the media, I kind of like let it be in the media. But if I make a big play in a game or something like that, and I'm like, and he is my vision, I like give him a wink or something like that, and ask him, like I think the other week, somebody from the Vikings said something in the paper, Chris Cook, or because he was my roommate. And when we used to work out, he was my roommate, and he said something like, he can control me or something like that, or something. But I kind of gave him a wink in the game when I made a catch on him. But that's about it with me. I wouldn't say nothing back in the media, but it happens all the time.
When guys, and in this case, we haven't played the Falcons yet, and Roddy White, by the way, plays offense. He doesn't even play defense. He's not even defending you on this. But, I mean, guys, is there too much made of bulletin board material? Is that more for the fans and the media to think that that really goes on? Or sometimes does a comment really get talked about during the week that, hey, we want to show whoever this is who we are and what we do? Well, is it too Hollywood there? What's the?
I think it's too, like Hollywood. Like, I think people think, like, you're supposed to react to situations like that. But sometimes it get talked around the locker room, and what we going to do, like go out there and prove them wrong and things like that. But I think it goes in one ear and out the other ear most of the time.
Was there some talking on the field yesterday from the Raiders defense? I mean, they're notorious for having that kind of outlaw mentality. Their fans are nuts. Was there some conversation going on as that game was going on yesterday, or was it fairly quiet?
Yeah, it was some conversation going on. Like, I get down the field and the ball get thrown the other way, and they'll say something like, you on lock today? And I was like, yeah, come out that too high. I say something like that, come out the too high, or stop bringing a safety over the top and you'll see who on lock. Things like that. Just joking with each other.
You on lock meaning you're not going to be open, you're not going to catch the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and you were letting them know.
I was letting them know, like, you got a safety over the top. You can talk now.
Like, you have help.
Yeah, I'm letting him know, like, you got help. So
there's two of you. There's one of me.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. 990-4620. Again, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. Some people on Twitter have some questions. Krishana, if I have the name right, has tweeted, who's the toughest DB you've played at this point in your career? Maybe if there's one that comes to mind, are there a couple of them? I mean, division guys you see twice every year.
Yeah, I think.
Do you rank them?
I kind of do. Not worry about it. With myself, but I think Grimes, even though I won't see him this year, I think Grimes was the toughest DB.
That's Atlanta's defensive back, and he's injured for the season. Mm-hmm. Chris Grimes. Daniel says, can you ask Mike, do you think you have the strongest hands in the league? This guy's got some serious hands.
I think I kid with Vincent all the time. I tell him I got the best hands on the team, but I think I can compete with anybody in the league when it comes to catching.
Do you do specific hand exercises even in the season to strengthen those hands, or is it just God given? You got it, you don't got it.
I think it starts with God given, or thank God. You got it, you don't got it, but I do actually do stuff in the off season, like I got this little weight squeezer thing where I just squeeze in my hands and get my hands stronger. And like Coach Fleck always say is, if like it's like a knife, like using a knife and you so good at it, you got to sharpen it up when you use it again. So he says sharpen up your skills, and I try to do that.
Like that stuff, like the insight here on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams. While we have a moment, Paul is in Palm Harbor. You are next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. First, I want to, you know, thank you for taking the time to recognize the military. I just retired from the Navy in July and moved back to my home state of Florida. And can't tell you how happy I am with the development of the Bucs since the Shanahan era came around, you know, I'm really proud to be a Bucks fan again and just really excited by you and Vincent Jackson and now the emergence of Doug Martin. It's just a really prolific offense, one of which I can't remember ever really being a prolific offense in Tampa Bay.
Hey, Paul, let me interject. We were saying before you came on, you may not have heard this. This is the greatest four-game stretch of offense in Buccaneer history. Never before 28 or more points, 400 yards or more of offense in four straight games in the history of the franchise. So you're absolutely right when you say you can't remember it. It hadn't happened before like this in terms of those kind of stats.
Yeah, it's just pretty crazy. And I'm just curious from you, Mike, you know, I've been around some pretty impressive, you know, you'd always hear sound clips of Gruden, you know, with his fiery speeches. And I'm curious, when you're in at halftime, down a little, is Shanno pretty animated in the locker room there, getting you guys riled up to come out and play?
What about it? Does he get animated?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Like, right before the game and at halftime, that's the most animated you'll ever see him. And I think he goes in and he basically speaking his heart. So, like this half, like, he went in there and went crazy. So, it was, like, very motivating.
Paul, thank you for the call. Thank you for your service. There you go. There's another military vet retired from the Navy who's a big Buccaneers fan. You know, it's interesting because you went head-to-head in college at Syracuse with Rutgers and with Greg Schiano's teams. It's funny how the NFL works out. Now here you are on an NFL roster and he is your coach. What is that like, having gone against him in college and now you're on the same side with him?
Oh, yeah, we always joke with each other. He always say, I never beat him, and he beat me every time, which is true. But I told him I'll put my stats up. But it's crazy to see how he coached and to have him now, it's a good thing.
He has said, compliments to you, he has said that guy was a pain in my neck as a head coach doing things at Syracuse. I am glad that Mike Williams is now on my team in the NFL, able to make some plays for me. So it's funny. You know, I was talking before with Tyquan Underwood about this, that Tyquan plays for him at Rutgers, goes into the NFL on a couple of different rosters, and, you know, probably he's playing for the New England Patriots last year during a playoff run. And I even asked him this question. If I'd have said to you, next year you're going to be sitting in Tampa Bay and Greg Schiano is going to be your head coach, he said, he finished it for me, I'd have said, you're crazy. But that's, I mean, that's the NFL, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's crazy. It's a business world, and it can happen any day.
There you go. All right, we got more with Mike. We're going to talk Chargers. We're going to wind it down here tonight. I got to get an update on his mom and how his mom's doing. You've talked a lot about your mom and the shirts that she wears to the games that are custom made or whatever. We got to find out about that coming up. It is Buccaneers Total Access. We'll be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back with number 19, remaining few moments. Again, it is going to be Military Appreciation Day Sunday. Military Appreciation and Veterans Day on Sunday there at Raymond James Stadium. And we remind you again, the military supply drive that's going on from the Glazer Family Foundation. You'll see the tents, see everything happening there. And again, about 9,000 tickets remain to get to the 85% there for the blackout rule. And again, you know, we said this before, I think it's rather obvious, after these two performances on the road and the explosive offense and all the big plays, get your tickets, get there and be part of this. Because if yesterday in the second half was any indication of what you might see, look out, Mike Williams, right?
Yeah, exactly. I tell them, man, don't let us get it down packed, man. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, because Buccaneer fans making noise and making noise at the right time is a great thing. All right, I teased this, so I'll go ahead and deliver that. Your mom is your biggest fan. You've joked with us before on the radio about that. And mom usually has custom-made shirts. Does she have a new shirt for 2012? And if so, what does it say?
Yeah, she got a new shirt. It's a Dynamike.
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 Okay.
It's a Dynamike. And It's never. I'm not going to tell you what it say on the back because I don't think I'm supposed to say
okay,
it.
Okay, so you don't have to.
This
is in Buccaneer colors?
It's a Buccaneers jersey, but where it's supposed to say Buccaneers at, it say Dynamike.
Okay.
And then it's 19 regular Buccaneers jersey.
Gotcha. All right. Now, are you even aware of the TV show Good Times with the sitcom back in the late 70s, the early 80s? Was it J.J. Walker, right? Dynamite. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea about what I'm talking about? Good Times.
Oh no.
The TV show. JJ Walker, Dynamite.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. I'm just checking on that. But it's Dynamite, M-I-K-E.
Yeah, Dynamite.
All right. Back to the phones. Here is Ron in St. Pete. You're on with Mike Williams. Hey Ron.
Hey, how you doing, TJ? How you doing, Mike?
All right, Ron. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, TJ. I guess now that we're on the veterans subject, I, too, am a veteran.
Excellent.
I served in the Marine Corps and the Army very proudly, and I'm also a very proud Buck fan right now.
Excellent.
Season ticket holder, no matter what, through all the bad years. But what I wanted to ask you, Mike, is, and let me say also, it's been just such a great pleasure to have you on our team, and I know last year things didn't quite go as well as they really could have, but you're just having a really good year, and I noticed, not only in the receiving game, but sometimes even blocking, the contribution that you're making. And what I wanted to ask you is, what do you think, or what do you do anything in the off season to get how you can kind of contort your body sometimes, or catch the ball over your shoulder and still keep your feet in bounds? Is there anything, does it come natural, or is it just something that you have to have hand-eye coordination? Or also, I just wanted to know, with the crowd noise and all, do you ever hear any of the players maybe after the game, or kind of just say about how adrenaline, is it an adrenaline rush to hear the crowd, and does it help? What feedback have the players given you from that? And I'll hang up and listen, Mike, and we're glad to have you, and you just keep right at it where you're going, and we love you.
Well, I love you too, Ron.
There you go.
But
he gave us a lot there, and there's a former Marine. How about that? Calling in saying you're giving him thrills. So he gave us a lot there. First of all, off-season stuff with working on body control and all that.
Well, I think it's natural, to be honest. But what I do, I play basketball and run a lot. I mean, I don't know if that really helps me or not, but that's what I do. I play basketball and run a lot in the off season, and try to be in the best shape before camp gets here.
All right, he left us a couple of other things there that are of interest. Last year to this year, you went through a frustrating year last year. I think it's wrong, it's incorrect to say that you played poorly. You didn't live up to some big numbers you put out there in 2010. But what has been a big difference for you first half of this year from last year with the successes that you're having?
Well, I think a big difference has been, to be honest, is Vincent Jackson. The way he changes the defense on the field, like the way he – you got to go too high. You got to recognize where he at on the field.
What is too high? Because fans hear announcers say that, media say that. What is it?
It's two safeties. It's cornered, and you got two safeties up there, and you not trying to give up no deep balls. You don't care what happens short. You let them catch the ball short and get a quick tackle. But it's basically you're not trying to give up no deep ball. So,
and you guys have been seeing a lot of too high because you've been making a lot of big plays.
Yes. So.
And does it loosen things up underneath like it seems like it would?
Yes, it loosens things up. But it's really made to say you play too high, say you're not going to beat as deep and you can't run the ball, basically, because they're taking really five defenders out to play and telling them, like, y'all worry about the pass and – we got to run. So you taking five, and you got six against. You got six against the rest of our offense. So it's like basically saying you can't run the ball.
He said something else about adrenaline from the crowd and feeding off the home crowd. We have not had this. We had three home games in a row. We've not had this the last couple of weeks where you guys have had to get it done on the road with the other team's crowd going crazy. What's it like at home with the Raymond James Stadium crowd going nuts for the Bucks?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It brings out a whole new level. Like, you hear the crowd and you feel that, you see that he's sold out and the crowd going crazy in his things, and every third down, it's like you can't even hear yourself talk. It feels good to have your home crowd there.
A couple of people on Twitter have weighed in here. One who goes under the handle, it's a female, Pig Knight, and I guess she, affectionately she's got her picture on here. She says, does Mike realize and the other guys realize how excited we are about these games? We've been waiting 10 years for this offense. Thank you, is what she says about that. Let's see. Mark says Mike is awesome. Love the fortitude and the attitude. Underwood should add Mike to add Mike's beard to his look. He says that the Tyquan not only should have the high fade but should have the long beard.
I don't think he can grow it.
You don't think so?
Yeah, we talked about it. I don't think
he can't grow it out like that.
Yeah.
This happens that way. Another fan on Twitter, Philip, and he actually tweeted us last week. Philip's from Northern California, and he's listening to us on the internet, and he says, I was at the game. I kept my celebrations to a minimum. Lots of Raider fans around me, but wow. So there were, I mean, there were some Buck fans that were in the stands having a good time for a lot of that game yesterday.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of Buck fans, and it seemed like they was like kind of like, I won't say scared to celebrate, but I mean, being in that black hole down there is crazy.
Yeah, Vincent got the touchdown in the black hole over there in the right corner, came running by him, and again, he's got a lot of experience playing in that stadium, playing for the Chargers, and. Yeah, and then you know, Doug got a couple of touchdown runs, a long one and a short one down in there into the black hole. So, yeah, it was a definitely interesting, different place to play. Quickly, Chris is in Washington, D.C., I'm told. We got about 3 minutes left. Chris on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams. Hey there.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, TJ. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Quick question for you, man. We're trying to represent Bucs fans up here in Virginia. I wanted to ask you about the loss of Carl Nix last week. As a Bucs fan, I thought for when that happened, I thought our offense was going to really suffer, and obviously that didn't happen. So I was just wondering how you all took that in the locker room last week and what adjustments, if you had to change the game plan when you lose somebody like that, and what adjustments did you guys make on Sunday because of that? Because whatever you did, it worked.
All right, Chris, thanks. Now, you said earlier in the show, if Chris didn't hear it, about Jeremy Zutaw and left guard.
Yeah, we know Jeremy Zutaw. He can play left guard. That was his position before he moved to center. And we always knew we knew they could switch around on the line. I think really all of them can play every position. So, like, we knew Ted Larson can play center. He did it a lot last year. He did it
2 years ago, too. Yep.
Yeah. Sometime this year, too. So we was saying to him, like, it really was – it's hard losing Carl Nix. A guy like that is – I mean, it's hard. But when we had to adjust, we knew that we can adjust.
Next man up on that. We got a couple moments left here. San Diego Chargers. You're going to get into the tape with them. They won a huge game for them at home with Kansas City. They're now at 4-4 in the playoff hunt. What do you know about the Chargers? I mean, this is obviously going to be an important game. They're all important, but this is going to be an important game for both teams for the future in that P word, playoffs.
Yeah. It's very important to us because it's the next game. So that's how we're looking at it. We're looking at it as it's our next game, and we got to go out there and try to get a win. So it'll be very exciting to see Vincent Jackson play the Chargers. I can't wait to
see
that.
You read my mind. That's going to be an interesting subplot for this, some guys that he knows pretty well. And we got about 30 seconds. Say something to the Buc fans. I know you want them out there full force. Get your tickets, Buc fans, right?
Okay, yeah. Buc fans, we need 9,000 tickets. We need 9,000
tickets.
Get
it done. You look at Mike. Mike working for the ticket department. Go.
Well, we need 10,000, man. We need more than just that 9,000, but we need y'all out there. We need our fans to get a win.
All right. We look forward to it. Mike, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week on Total Access. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buc Place. Buc Charger game is coming up Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.